from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's time for the 2024 Red and Gold Summit. Live from Fremont Bank, Willard, Dibs, Steiny, Guru, Bonte and Shasky, all together like one big happy family.
Really? Are they all together? Who's taking care of security?
Getting you ready for a huge Niners season. All right, boys, here we go.
You're darn right. Here we go. Let's hear you. Football season is here. The Red and Gold Summit is here. Bonte and Joe are here.
Yeah!
Steiny and Goo are here.
Yeah!
So, look, obviously a lot to get into after just a crazy offseason and the excitement of beginning, but I always start these shows, and I know we just did it off-air, but I want to do it on-air as well. 4 to 6 in the afternoon here on a Wednesday. That is when Dibs and I are always on the air. I want to thank these four for coming back out after you did your shows, coming back all the way out here and hanging with us in Fremont and doing some more. So thank the four of you.
You know, Mark, if you and Dan really cared, I've got a babysitter bill. I'll send you an email.
Well,
yeah, no doubt.
And Bonte does not because he brought Baby Chaz right
baby
here.
Baby Chaz!
MVP!
I love it. Radio. I can't afford a babysitter.
Look at him. Never before in the history of a summit has somebody done the show with their child on their lap. And
yeah.
So here we go.
It's going to be rough.
Here we go. But why don't we let the two of you actually, Niner jersey clad gentlemen, start off with some opening statements on what has brought us to this moment in 49er football.
But what do you mean? Like the opening season? The beginning of the year?
Yes, indeed.
Oh, like when
actual,
I became a fan?
Actual,
well,
no,
you know,
actual
it was 1981.
Sports.
My dad was a candlestick sitting in section 7.
How about from the emotion of when, was it Mecole Hardman scored the touchdown to now when we're in Fremont Bank?
So,
what's your journey been like?
We were sitting,
what are your thoughts? What are your feelings and emotions?
We were sitting at actually a table almost identical to this up in the corner of the end zone, way high up. Bonte grabbed me. I threw a notebook, and some people from Sacramento were like, oh, it's so sad that the Niners lost. Like, you've been in 7 markets. Bonte said, we're leaving right now. And we got up and we stopped out, and it was the saddest walk I've had since the 2011 NFC Championship game when the Niners lost at home to the New York Giants. It was just, it was a horrific loss. Then we went to Popeyes, and Popeyes ran out of chicken. It was the worst night ever in Vegas. And you want to talk about the saddest place in the world, the Excalibur after a Super Bowl loss. Woo! I was sad. And so this offseason's been very tumultuous because we've been talking about everything other than football, right? right? Oh my gosh, contracts for Purdy, contracts for Christian, contracts for Debo. Will he get traded? Ayuk, Trent, finally. And then sadly, obviously, what happened with Ricky Pearsall. Yep. Finally, we're at least here, and thankfully, he's okay. Like, let's talk about football. This team is loaded. Yeah. They got eight guys making $15 or more million dollars this year. They might have the best roster in football. They've been knocking on the door. Let's do it now. Let's win a Super Bowl.
There well, Shasky left out the fact that we bought Chinese food and they forgot to put utensils Chinese food in the Excalibur hotel room with my fingers. Hey. So there's that.
Don't act like that's the first time you've had Chinese food with your fingers. But anyway, not the first time.
No, it was a long road, right? I mean, I can't. Shasky said it perfectly. The Warriors don't make the playoffs. The Giants are the Giants, which is a 500 baseball team. So it's been tough to avoid the Niners and trying to get over that Super Bowl and trying to get over the contract negotiations, the hold in, the holdouts, everything that went to it. And finally, we're here. September the 9th, Monday Night Football against the New York Jets. Big Trent is back with this big old dog. Brandon Ayuk is signed. Ricky Pearsall is going to be fine. He's in a weight room already. Finally, we get to talk about a game. Talk about a game for once. So the drama's over, and now we get to lock in on the New York Jets.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I said the same thing yesterday, that like going back to the playing game against the Sacramento Kings, this game Monday night is like the first real sit-down Bay Area sports event since then. So it's been a long haul, but Steiny and Goo, hello.
What's going on?
Good to see you.
Hey. That's it?
How do you? Come on.
I'll walk. Look at it.
I'll walk.
My man.
They're a reflection of you, Steiny. Yeah. They're a reflection of you. But no, I wonder how you guys see that offseason that we've just had and how it affects what's about to happen next.
Well, everybody knows my beautiful partner, and he is the real Russell Crowe, a beautiful mind. And he makes me think a lot of times, but the bottom line is I can look at this Niner team since 19 and give kudos and credit all day long to Lynch and Shanahan and what they've built. But I'll never, being from Union City, California, apologize for the way that I personally watch sports. And when I see greats at their job, on the field, off the field, coaching, like I have with the Niners, I hold them to their own standard. And that's why I look at the great Kyle Shanahan. I feel like an opportunity got out of their hands last year in Vegas, 2019. So for my partner sometimes to make it seem like I'm coming across like Kyle's no good, I understand what they've built. But as we've seen with Ricky Pearsall, and thank the Lord that he's okay and he's still with us, the bottom line is tomorrow is not promised. The Niners have lost three straight Super Bowls. Two of them they should have won, the last two. So damn it, get it done. I'm going Larry Cable Guy. Get her done.
Yeah! Matt?
What do you want me to say?
Whatever you want to say.
I mean, nobody is granted Super Bowls. Nobody. And as John Lynch has talked about, you've got to earn it at the beginning of the year. We don't know what this team is like right now, the 49ers. They should be good, but we can't assume the Super Bowl. We've got to enjoy the ride, people. The ride. That's what we've got to enjoy.
Matt, can I ask you a question?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, you know, you've been doing this a long time. The Warriors have skewed things the last couple of years. Yeah. Dan, I'd love to hear your opinion on this. Giants moved west. Warriors moved west. The Niners were born and raised here. It's football. It's the NFL. It's this brand. It's what it meant before the internet era. When the Niners are humming, they're unlike anything else in Northern California. Would you meet me there?
Joe, I moved here in 1990 from Philadelphia. Well, outside Philadelphia. I never really made it to Philly. It was a little bit, it was a tough town.
That story could go on for a while. Grab a slider, get comfortable.
All my buddies are Eagles fans and hardcore. But when I got here in 90, there was a different level. It was. The fans in San Francisco in the 90s were every bit like a Philadelphia Eagle fan and then some. And so there is no doubt the 49ers are king. There's just no doubt about it. So it's only about whether they can win the Super Bowl right now. That's the position they put themselves in, and they either have to deliver, and if they don't, we'll see what happens. But It is. They got to win a Super Bowl now.
I think the question I hear,
that's going to be tough.
Yeah, the question either you're asking or the topic you're bringing up is sort of not just like we think about off-season drama as the last 6 weeks, but what you're really talking about is all of the history of the Kyle Shanahan era and how that affects this season. How would you answer that?
Well, I would say that it goes even further than that. It goes back 32 years. It goes to Harbaugh being close and then blowing his own spot up, and then Kelly and Tom Sula and Mike Nolan and all, Singletary, I Want Winners, and all the rest of the,
Dennis Erickson.
The Niners. Thank you.
Don't bring
the Niners
up.
Have been through a Super Bowl desert, and it's like an oasis. The Lombardi is like that body of water with the two palm trees that you read about, the oasis, and you feel like you're going to get there, and then poof, it disappears. And you have to start over. Guys, we talked earlier about, I mentioned five things you have to be a champion, and I believe they have all five. You need talent. They've got maybe the best roster in football.
Okay.
You need coaching. Their coach is considered one of the two or three best. You may not love what he does in the big game, but he's widely regarded as great. You've got to have culture. Their culture looks pretty good. Might be a little fractured with all this hold out, hold in. We'll see. I think they can survive it. And you need health, and you need breaks. If they don't have health, if they lose certain players, you can forget about it. Last year they were healthy, they were talented, they were well coached, they got a couple breaks, and they were there in the end of it. So I see a team that, avoiding devastating injuries and a couple of horrific breaks, the refs, the ball, whatever, they should be right there again.
I go back to what you guys were discussing about your specific experience being there and in the building. And obviously that's not true for most 49er fans. Most of them watched on a couch or a sports bar or whatever. But how will you guys bring that experience sort of into your fandom this year?
I mean, B and I talk about this all the time. Like, we grew up in the city, and the Niners' birthright was, oh, the season starts in the division round in the NFC Championship game. And then there's this whole second half where you're an adult, and they're snake-bitten, and they've been in a zillion NFC Championship games. They've lost three Super Bowls. And you're like, wait a minute. Like, this is coming up on 40 years. We're 35 years. This is becoming kind of a thing. It's like, are we ever going to break through? I mean, the Giants went 54 years before winning a World Series. The Niners are at 31. This can be the 31st season. I mean, that's insane. It's kind of insane. And they've been wildly successful knocking on the door. Yankee fans haven't won since 09. And they're ready to pull their hair out and fire everyone and trade everyone. Niner fans are the same way. Have you seen the stands? Did you see the preseason? Tennessee, Bonte Sam. Did you see Tennessee in a preseason game? And it's all red and gold. Niner fans are everywhere. And the thirst for winning in this sport is faster than ever. And it's higher than it's ever been. I mean, I don't know if I could do another heartbreak.
Well, you asked me.
I really don't.
Yeah. Well,
that's real.
But we would, though. We would.
Of
we did a heartbreak
would.
In 2021 SoFi Stadium. Was as heartbreaking as it gets walking out of that stadium. There was hugs from every Niner fan. Tears were flowing. It was like, boy, we got to get back up. Yeah. And then you go to Philadelphia, and that was tough. You lose your quarterback 6 plays into the game, and we're sitting there, Shaz going, I think we got a shot. I'm thinking, we have Josh Johnson playing quarterback. Yeah. He almost fumbled in the first quarter, let alone the second quarter, and then we know what happened in the third, where he gets knocked out the game, and you're basically running a wildcat wing tee offense the rest of the way. Got back up, went through last season, and we'll do it again after Las Vegas. And look, the Las Vegas experience, when Mahomes threw the interception and the Niners didn't score, in my mind, which I'm trying to like deflect this mindset so bad, but in my mind, when Mahomes threw that interception and the Niners didn't score, I thought to myself, boy, how are they going to lose this game? Winning that game never came into my mind. I was thinking, how are they going to lose this game?
How?
And I'm trying to debunk that mindset. And so, you know, we're going to go buckle up and get ready for the Jets, and hopefully they get the one seed. But that experience lives on forever. Hell, I haven't got over the New York Giants when Roger Craig fumbled in 90. I haven't got over Sit-Down's Cowboys in back-to-back seasons.
That's how
I am. Kyle Williams, when Green Bay came to Candlestick in 97, and Antonio Freeman was cooking Rod Woodson in the rain. I haven't gotten over that one, so the losses stay with you. But you appreciate the wins a lot much more when you do get those big victories. Hopefully they get that this season.
Joe said something, and the word you used is birthright, and I want to drill down on that because that's really the feeling I get. And the Warriors dynasty has been unbelievable, but it feels very Steph-centric. When he's gone, it's gone, and it might already be gone. We don't want to get into that now, Steiny, but for the Niners, it does feel like the bar is always up there. The birthright that you grew up with and I grew up with when I was a teenager, they just won. And if they didn't win. It was like a Roger Craig thing or something crazy, and that was the way it went. So that feeling, I think, is what surrounds the expectations for me.
Well, that's what's actually really been hitting me in the face lately, and part of that is just because we got guys like Mark Grandy and Evan Giddings and people we love at the station who are of a certain age where it's almost like they don't even know about the dynamic you're talking about because they've never seen it. Like, Joe, how old were you when the Niners last won the
Super
Bowl?
We were 12.
12 years old. And look at you.
Congratulations.
I went to Michigan.
You've got one in your lifetime.
Yeah.
Look at you. Congratulations. Now wait another 32 years.
Well, I remember three, though. The Bengals Super Bowl at Joe Rodney Stadium.
Of course.
I remember the 55-10 like it was yesterday. As a kid, knowing the stats inside and out, John Elway and the Broncos actually had a 3-0 lead in that football game. And I remember when they beat the Chargers. Oh. And the real Super Bowl was against the Dallas Cowboys in the NFC Championship game.
That's a good point. This current thing against the Chiefs feels very Dallas Cowboy-like, where you can't get over the hump against this particular team and that particular player. And it's driving everyone nuts. And not only has Mahomes won two against you, where you've become his Cincinnati Bengals to his Joe Montana, right? He could go for a fourth and tie Joe Montana this year.
Ouch.
And he's beaten you twice.
Well, I think about this.
And you had him twice.
Well, and last year, they weren't.
And you let him off the hook.
They weren't that good last year either.
Last year
was a down year for Kansas City.
On offense.
Third and 15 in Super Bowl 54 changed the course of NFL history. Third and 15, the Niners were up 10 with about 7 minutes of change left. And Troy Aikman on the broadcast, like, boy, Mahomes and them got to get something cooking right away. And Tyreek Hill gets a bomb, and it changed the history of the NFL. Kansas City loses. Does Andy Reid have one? Maybe we're talking about him like Marv Levy.
That's a good question.
We're talking about Patrick Mahomes, maybe like John Elway before he got to. Third and 15 in Super Bowl 54. The Niners quite haven't gotten over that.
You can say, make an argument, it's more successful, like in terms of roster, right now than the non-salary cap era. We could just load up at every position. They've got eight guys making $15 million or more and are the top two or three at their position, and no one argues it across the board. And they've reloaded. They got a kid who they drafted in the third round who's going to start for them right now. I think it's harder to churn the roster over, and think of how different this roster is right now than 2019. Think about how different it is. Yep. The secondary is completely new. The only guy on the defensive line who was there was Nick Bosa and Fred Warner at linebacker. On offense, it's Debo and who? Kittle? That's it. Everyone else is new, and so they've turned it over. Kyle has been wildly successful, and they've been brilliant at adding to the roster.
They
just got to win one.
They don't win. He's on the hot seat, though.
No, he's not.
I'm kidding.
Yeah, no, he's not. No, but that's a good point, because I think that's what scares people when you hear people talking about the window closing. I just think it's that we can't imagine that these top players who are on the roster right now will be replaced. But that's their job, and they have. You're right. Like, that's a good thing that you just pointed out. They have already been doing that, and that's an absolutely omnipresent thing in the NFL. Jump in here, you two.
I thought it was the morning roast. I was like, that's the rock.
Damn, Willard. You're the point guard.
Bam.
I'm open, coach.
I'm talking about point guard. That's all. I love what y'all was saying, boy. Your boy fell asleep.
Stoddy's an Eagle fan. Man. We don't know about winning.
Stoddy, you okay?
What? I'm dynamite.
Yeah, man.
Oh, I'm dynamite.
Not playing.
Go ahead. The floor is yours.
I forgot the question.
I didn't ask you one. No, but I think what we're getting at is how does the history, and mainly the recent history, affect what we're about to see this year?
All right, I'm from the Bay, born and raised, right? And this man gets mad when, and I know I have family, I got best friends, 49 and Frankie, shout out, and I know the Frankie. Pulse at the Bay. They had a saying, they were 5-0 in Super Bowls, Willard, Dibbs, Shasky, and Bonte. When they went, they won. And to me, that's not every year. I can step back and reflect and be like, you know what, that means something. When that helmet, the gold helmet goes with the FS on the side, when they go, they win. And all of a sudden, under Harbaugh, Heartbreak Hotel, as Shasky mentioned, at the 12-15-yard line. Okay? That happened. Then you had the Kyle Williams fumble, as Bonte talks about. Then you got the drama in 2019. And I'm just a grown-ass man that knows when I watch football and said team is up 10 points in the second half, that's a winnable game. But they didn't win it. Then we saw what happened happened last year. Up 10 again. They didn't win it. And you can give me Mahomes, who I love and have an infinity for, but you can't erase and tell me what I watched where the Niners dominated the Chiefs, held them to 3 points last year in the Super Bowl, at halftime, the great Mahomes, and then when it's over, just say, oh, it was Mahomes? No! I have to critique and judge and grade what went wrong and why there were breakdowns, because the Niners should have two more parades that I would have been at.
Oh,
and I'm just saying, in the last five years.
Don't you think finding out that they didn't really understand the overtime rules was just like a twist of the knife for Niner fans?
Who is that on, though, Butch? As much as I love Kyle,
when
I'm
saw the Chiefs celebrating,
that's on
before they even won the coin toss, they're like, they want the ball, they want the ball. Can you believe they want
the ball? That's a bad look.
My heart sank between my legs.
Mm. That's a bad look, guys.
Can I ask a question? No. Why did you just say, oh, God, when Guru was... What in the hell does the 1994 Super Bowl win have to do with now?
Nothing, Steiny!
Thank you! Who's my man?
Wait a minute.
It doesn't matter.
It matters to the psyche and the emotions of the fans.
Yeah, how do you mean half of the fans weren't even alive at that point.
But the ones that were.
Like,
talk to the ones that were alive.
The Boston Celtics were like, oh, man, we're still getting over that 87 loss to the Lakers. No. I mean, what are we doing?
No, but Boston Celtics fans and Lakers, every time one of them gets to the finals, they're sitting there with their little tote board.
Let me help you all out.
17. So, no, Steiny,
1994 is irrelevant.
No, it is to you. It is to you.
Of course.
Because you're not a fan.
Because you're not a fan.
But how does it impact what happens on the field?
Steiny, let me tell you.
It doesn't impact what happens.
Thank you.
It impacts the fans.
Well, I don't care about you all. Who are you?
Oh,
you guys mean nothing.
Cut that.
You mean nothing. None of you.
Cut that.
Pay the over on first troll.
Listen, as somebody who is raising 49er fans who've never seen something like this, it matters. It matters because they do want to know the history. They do know. They want to know where this jersey has been. They do know who Joe Montana and Steve Young and Jerry Rice are. They want to know what that's about. And they want to experience it for themselves.
I
don't ask you to understand it. You can't.
He won't.
Of course I can.
You can't. No, you can't.
If I'm an Eagles fan, the fact that they lost the Raiders in 85 when Rod Martin got three interceptions off Roger McCann,
they're irrelevant.
They've got one since then.
That's right.
That's their history. This is Niner history. And to a Niner fan, that's the only thing that matters.
Wow.
And it is a special history.
Okay, you're 5-3 in Super Bowls. That's probably better than 90% of the
three
teams.
Three-game losing streak, Steiner.
Oh, that's a shame.
Would you rather be 5-3?
Harbaugh has nothing to do with Kyle Shanahan.
How come a guy that sits there and looks at posters of Larry Bird dismisses history?
That is right.
How is that possible?
Larry Bird, he's irrelevant.
He's not irrelevant.
He's completely irrelevant.
No.
I don't hold any team to a standard of 30 years ago when you can't even compare sports.
I would argue that at all times where we've been shades and affects where we're going. I would even say that in the recent history.
I would say five Super Bowls has made this fan base completely and utterly unrealistic.
That's fine.
Man. Okay.
So what? That's our history.
Fair enough.
That's all that we know.
So you're not deemed
not really.
To win a Super Bowl.
No one's saying that.
Like, in the last 15 years, in terms of winning percentage, playoff wins, all that, the only two teams that are better than where the Niners are at are the Patriots and the Chiefs.
Okay.
And those are the teams that have Super Bowls.
They've won. My point is this. What do you guys deserve more than a Detroit Lions fan?
the Detroit Lions haven't knocked on the door literally seven times in 15 years.
Right.
Been on the NFC Championship seven times.
Okay.
We owe anything. It's just eventually, can they get through?
We'll see.
Can they win one?
We'll see.
You're a product of your environment. That's the bottom line. Like the Lions fan base, you look at them. They're up 24-7. The other team scores one time and they're already freaking out because they know they're going to lose because we're a product of our environment. That's who they are. This is who we are. This is where we've been. And that matters, even in a very, very sort of like vacuum sort of a way.
You're a Yankee fan.
So the Celtics this year were playing for all those teams in the 60s.
For a lot of fans, they were.
Oh.
For a lot of fans.
I don't think they're playing for that.
But what does it mean? Like, what does it mean? How is it relevant?
It's not relevant to X's and O's. It's relevant to the fans.
Right. Okay,
that's relevant to
people
the fans.
People that you just roundly dismiss. Yeah.
They stink.
Yeah.
Yeah. They stink.
All right.
Come on, guys. You know I'm right. Stop expecting a Super Bowl and enjoy where we're at.
The troll counter is at 2. That is the great Matt Stein. Steiny and Goo, Bonte and Joe, Willard and Dibs. It's the Red and Gold Summit. Coming up next, we're talking Kyle Shanahan. We're talking about our biggest concerns. We're getting you, the audience, involved in all of this. Thank you very much for being here. The gang's all here on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah! My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now back to the 2024 Red and Gold Summit, live from Fremont Bank on 95.7 The Game.
Let me say that again. We're live in Fremont. Y'all look good. You sound good. We're at the Red and Gold Summit on 95.7 The Game with the whole darn group. Bonte and Joe, Steiny and Goo, Willard and Dibs with you, and all of you. Thank you. Thank you for all coming out on a Wednesday afternoon. Look at you.
I mean, it's one thing to come out for us. It's another thing to come out for the spectacular view here at Fremont Bank. It's another thing entirely to be greeted by delicious food.
Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good. Massimo's in Fremont, best Italian restaurant in the whole area. And they have been wonderful to us today. And everything's delicious. Y'all try everything. Guru, did you get some food?
I'm throwing feathers. I didn't have so many wings.
Yeah, that's
what I'm talking about. Italian cuisine with a modern twist, fresh ingredients, fantastic wines, warm in an atmosphere, perfect for any occasion. Check it out, Massimo's Fremont. And again, we send them our thank you for their contributions today. All right, the vibe is good, even though that's kind of the word we've been talking about all offseason about it being bad. And Guru, we're going to start with you because I don't want you to get left out.
Oh, okay. Whoa, okay.
What's your biggest...
You 35 shots a game.
Yeah. Kiss my niece for me. Yeah, you're the MVP.
Russell Westbrook over there.
What's your biggest concern?
Health. I really believe the fact that since 2019, this team, they've endured injuries, but never nothing to derail them to get to their ultimate goal and the big stage. And when you talk about Christian McCaffrey, who we all love, his calf is barking already and hadn't even got tackled. That's telling me, you know what? This next year might be, and I could be totally wrong, wouldn't be the first time, it might just be a tad bit tougher. So on Sunday, Shasky and Vontae Dibbs and Stoney and Willard, it might not be your opponent that gives you the biggest problem. It might be health. So I'm monitoring and watching that, and I know I can hear you guys already. Well, that's everywhere, every city.
Right.
But when you think about this Niner run under Kyle, dude, they've been relatively blessed with health.
Steiny, you're reacting again.
This is going to take some time.
You're reacting again.
Can I ask, why are you guys are all Niner fans, right?
Yeah!
Okay. Do you go into this season as big-time fans saying, we may get hurt. We may get hurt. McCaffrey may get hurt. It's like, it's football. Play the game.
I know two guys who think about that. It's Daryl Guru Johnson.
My brother from another mother.
Oh, my God. I'm so worried. He may get hurt. He got cracked.
And you know what?
I deal with it every morning.
Mahomes may get hurt, and you'll get gifted a Super Bowl. That's the bottom line.
Super Bowl.
There you go, Joe. Exactly.
Okay. No. Then why are we worried?
Because Dre Greenlaw tore his Achilles and they had an angle of camera I'd never seen before. I'm just saying things happen, man.
Congrats. Yeah. You've got an excuse.
No.
No Dre Greenlaw.
You should have still been able to overcome that. But look, the number one concern on the Niners.
I want to hear Steiny's answer.
He doesn't have one.
No, it's Brock Purdy.
It's Brock Purdy.
Yeah, it's Brock Purdy.
You're concerned that he's not very good?
No. What I'm saying is McCaffrey is who he is. Kittle is who he is. Ayuk. I think Brock Purdy, of the 49ers, important players, is the one player who can elevate himself. And if he can take the next step, they can win a Super Bowl.
He's already had a great fourth quarter, a second half against Seattle in his first playoff run, fourth quarter against the Dallas Cowboys, and then the coinciding year, the following year, excuse me.
The drive with Green Bay.
The unbelievable drive with Green Bay. And the second half against Detroit, he was excellent. I thought in the Super Bowl, if we're just ranking players.
He wasn't bad.
CMC had a bad game.
Yeah, nobody's saying
Trent had a bad game. Kittle was invisible.
Trent had a bad game.
Like the offensive line, Trent Williams was
terrific. You're answering your own questions.
No. Brock Purdy was actually one of the best players on the Niners in the Super Bowl. Yes.
23 for 38.
Look, guys have to make plays outside of him.
Quarterbacks have to make plays.
Brock Purdy, to your point, Sandy, he can grow.
Of course he can.
He throws against Green Bay. The Super Bowl, he was okay, but he wasn't great. He missed a couple in the end zone. He missed Ayuk. He got his ball batted down. He wasn't great,
though. He was better than Kittle.
He wasn't good enough to get over the hump.
He was better than Brett. He was better than by Burford and Brendel.
Thank you.
That's where my concern is. We talked to Greg Cosell every Wednesday at 3 o'clock.
Oh, wow.
He talked today about Colton McKivitz. He said, I don't know about Colton McKivitz, guys. And he said, the left side of the O-line is good. The right side, not so much. That's a little bit curious about that.
He likes Pooney.
Yeah,
he
but likes Pooney a lot. He likes the college tape.
Yeah, he likes Pooney.
That's my concern, though, is the offensive line, the right side of the offensive line.
I think the guy who's got to step up, and I said this morning, it's Nick Bosa on the defensive side of the football.
Man.
Nick Bosa held out last year for about $20 million extra. 5 years, 170. He held out, which I was fine with. But when you hold out, you got to go play ball. And midway through the year, he's pointing the finger at Steve Wilks. He's pointing the finger at himself saying, well, I got to experiment. I'm not ready to go. Well, that was your fault. So I expect Nick Bosa with Leonard Floyd on the other side, who I think is going to be really good. Collins in the middle. You got safeties. You got the best cornerback room the Niners have had in my lifetime. Nick Bosa has to play close to a DPOY. He's got to be top five in the DPOY rankings when it comes to that award.
Who crashed down twice on fourth down in the Super Bowl and let Mahomes run? And like, that's not Wilkes' fault, Bosa. You got to be better.
And on the final drive, if you watch it, Bosa on the sideline, huffing and puffing, needing to play on the last possession of regulation in the Super Bowl. And so my guy, I'm looking at number 97 to step up and be a guy.
I want to add to that, because if you think about some of the guys, Reggie White did it in the playoffs in the fourth quarter. Charles Haley did it in the fourth quarter in the playoffs. I watched Aaron Donald take over the fourth quarter of the NFC Championship game against the Niners. He took over. We've watched Chris Jones twice against the Niners take over. And I don't want to hear about holding calls that woulda, coulda, shoulda been called. You have to make plays and you have to figure. You can make an argument Chase Young was more impactful than
that's incredible.
That can't happen. And when you're making 122 large and you bent everyone over and you waited till 3 days before the season started, I'm sorry, I'm with B. You better have a monster year.
Willard, is that valid? Because to me it is, man.
Well, I think that's valid for all of the guys that are getting paid. Like, I mean, when you're paid to be an elite player, you have to be an elite player. And Nick Bosa was an elite player, but
last season?
Yeah.
He was an elite last season.
He was very good. He was not elite.
He was good. But 10
and a half sacks?
Sacks is not the only measure.
Yeah, that's his stat. Cosell said something to us today that I think carries weight. Mm. And he said, in talking to offensive linemen around the league, Nick is about the hardest person to deal with.
Wow.
And that's true last year as well. I get where you're coming from.
And I'm totally with you on game record.
Yeah, the bottom line is, in big moments, when you're a big player, you got to come up big. And I think that's for Nick, that's for Brock. Although Brock's not getting paid yet, you guys watch. That's going to be the effect for Brandon Ayuk this year. Bygones will be bygones, but now you've got to go be an elite receiver because you spent 6 months telling the Niners you better pay me like an elite receiver. They do.
Oh, yeah, agreed.
Now you got to go be an elite
receiver.
That
comes with the territory.
That's the way it works.
Yeah.
You know, they make so many excuses. A lot of fans make so many excuses about Bosa getting held. Bosa gets held. I don't hear from Max Crosby. I don't hear from Myles Garrett.
Wow.
I don't hear from T.J. Watt.
J.J. Watt.
I don't know if you want to say he was
elite
last season.
They're not in big games, though.
But they
Max Crosby's
well,
never
Chris
been
Jones
in a game
is.
That matters.
Chris Jones is.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Micah Parsons did against the 49ers.
Yeah.
I watched Tyron Smith just manhandle Bosa in that playoff.
He's quiet in that game.
And Penny Sewell
on Monday
did
night now.
And I also watched a young Aiden Hutchinson dominate the 49ers in the first half of that game. Now, they made adjustments and whatnot.
Yep. Right.
Aiden Hutchinson didn't get 122 large guaranteed.
Like,
I'm sorry. We're making
this
that kind
of going
extra
to
pressure. The pressure does get ratcheted up by the contract. And
exactly.
I'm more worried about Brandon Ayuk living up to that contract than I am Nick Bosa, because Ayuk is not going to get the targets. He's not going to get the catches. And if there are a couple of drops or maybe a fumble or something, I think Niner fans will be quicker to turn on Brandon Ayuk than they would Nick Bosa.
I mean, George Kittle went MIA for weeks on end in the playoffs, and no one said boo-hoo. So as long as I hear what you're saying.
What was the Super Bowl stats, George Kittle?
Two catches.
Yeah.
Wow.
How many targets?
Fourth down.
How many targets?
Not good enough.
Yeah.
And I love George, but that's not – he also couldn't lift his arm if you watch
our
the receiver.
Our guy, John Taylor, where is
but
he?
But that was at the end of the game, though. In the Super Bowl 54, the fourth quarter images was George Kittle blocking on pass.
That's
plays.
Terrible,
he's a great
man.
Blocker.
Great blocker.
He is a great blocker.
But boy, I need you to be a two-way player, man. You got to make some –
Yes, but you remember the Chiefs played a ton of man, and they also were getting through the offensive line. You needed extra help on the block.
But also with Brandon Ayuk, is Baldy putting out in the video, because a lot of people were telling me all season, why Ayuk's replaceable? Second team all pro, please. Fourth option this, fourth option that. Well, Baldy broke it down, since we're breaking down Greg Cosell and everything, and I respect these guys. Greg Cosell, he knows
he's
a lot.
Baldy's awesome.
Baldy broke down the Super Bowl videos. Wow, Ayuk is getting bracketed multiple times. Wow, look at McDuffie and Steed bracketing Ayuk. Well, look at Ayuk run block. Best run blocking wide receiver in pro football. And then when he does get one-on-one, he makes plays.
Wow.
So I do think Ayuk deserves that money. He's the best wide receiver on this football team. He's the best downfield threat on this football team. And Purdy and Ayuk, it gets overlooked. He had 1,000
really
yards
did.
With three different quarterbacks, and then last year he explodes. Ayuk and Purdy have a rapport, and that's why he had to keep him. I think he's going to be worth every penny when it's all said and done.
The rapport is true.
We all love CMC, right? We love CMC.
Who doesn't?
I mean, he didn't play a great Super Bowl. It's okay to say. Monster season.
Oh, the fumble was huge.
The fumble was a great catch on the little flip pass where he did the stutter step. He was quiet. This is a team that rode him all year.
Yep.
I don't think they
can ride him
like that and expect
the same production come January. He was shut down in the Dallas game last year. He was relatively quiet in the Philly game. Now your quarterback got hurt, so we can throw that out the window. If he is not all-world CMC, it's a totally different
offense. And his calf is barking already.
I don't know about that.
It's a fact.
If they had a game 2 weeks ago, he would have played.
Yeah, he's been, no, he's you fine. Can play, but can you be the best version of yourself? That's all I'm asking.
You can't wear him down in December. I think that's something they learned this year. You can't wear him down in December. And just like the Warriors, you can't chase 73 wins and bite your nose off despite your face.
Okay, first of all, want to again remind everybody that we're live in Fremont. The Red and Gold Summit. Talking it out, all things Niners, getting ready for the season with the whole gang here at 95.7 The Game. And Fremont Bank has again been an unbelievable host up here on the rooftop deck on a beautiful day. Are we all right? Yeah. Having a good time?
Yeah.
You having a good time out there? Let's take it to this, and Joe, I want to start with you because it was a show that you did last week when Bonte was on vacation that I know you guys have referenced a bunch.
Yeah.
We referenced a bunch. It became a very interesting day when you played Kyle Shanahan Word Association. So set up for everybody what you did and what went down.
Well, you know, it's interesting. We did five questions for the audience, and, you know, one was, like, who has to have a career year and blah, blah. We did Word Association. I say Kyle Shanahan. You say what? Like, what comes into your mind? And the responses were all over the place. And look, is Kyle the greatest coach who ever lived? No. But I don't think Belichick was the great. Like, Belichick had flaws. He's great. He's amazing. Could draft a receiver, you know, to save his life. Bill Walsh had misses left and right. Bill Walsh was always trying to replace Joe Montana. He was a little too impatient. Kyle has this bugaboo late in games in these crucial losses, and he's got to get over it. So we were asking the audience, I say Kyle Shanahan. You say what? I said, he's a winner. He just hasn't won yet. The big one. I heard tortured genius. I heard schematic, you know, mastermind. I heard tortured soul. Can't win the big one.
Say the word.
The responses were everywhere.
Say the word. Joker.
I heard Joker.
You heard Joker.
I heard Joker.
Is that fair?
Steiny, is that fair?
Yeah. Okay.
I didn't mean to wake you up.
Yeah, no, okay. Yeah, no, Kyle Shanahan's a choker.
Okay.
No, that, like,
go ahead and cut that.
Just boil it down to that. If he's a choker, then you should fire him right now. Because then he won't win it.
Some people do want to fire him, which is crazy.
Oh. Yeah. It's crazy. What do you say to fill in the blank? Kyle Shanahan is what? When you say Kyle Shanahan, what do you think of?
He's among the best coaches in football.
I agree.
Among?
Top three.
Amidst?
Top three.
Afoot? Top three, okay.
But probably. I would retort that what's the goal? To be one of the greatest coaches ever in football, and to do that and be invited to the championship dinner, you got to cash that chip that the Niners have been trying to since 2019. And in my world on the Guru computer, I watch a 9 quarters of Chiefs-Niners Super Bowl, and the Niners won 7.5.
Okay, hold on.
And they have nothing to show for.
McVay's got a ring.
That's the other thing.
His contemporary has the ring.
McCarthy has a ring.
Yeah, but let me challenge you on something.
I'm good.
Because here's obviously that's where everybody wants this to go.
Right.
And obviously it's very hard and only one per year and that whole thing. But I heard you guys talking about this earlier and I wanted to make note of it and ask you. If someone wins a Super Bowl, does that automatically make him a great coach?
Yeah.
Do you affix that label to all of them who've
Doug
done
Peterson,
it?
Doug Peterson, John
McCarthy,
Harbaugh.
Mike
I'm going
McCarthy,
right down. My, Sean
McCarthy.
Payton. You know,
I'll tell you what, guys. I would rather have one than none all day, and I'm going to respect the craft. So those guys are greater than said coach that's at zero.
You're taking Gary Kubiak over Mark Levy?
The Cubs. Yeah.
I think I am. Just he can cash the chip.
You taking Brian
Billick. Mike McCarthy? John Gruden?
Okay.
Yeah.
This is how I work. Would those guys have a Super Bowl in Kyle's situation? Had they closed those games? I'll wait.
No
Marty Schottenheimer might have
tell.
A ring had he been coaching in Kyle's position, especially just last year. I wonder. And not to take the kick in overtime, like Kyle told, his guys told a lot about what I thought was already said and done. done that you are doing calculus, not general math, and then you find out, oh, maybe it is general math. Well, the guys didn't know. You know what I mean? Like, you didn't know the rules, Kyle. Your guys told on you. I just have, like, that bothers me for Kyle.
And on the flip side, real quick, Willard, the Kansas City Chiefs were prepping for that moment every single week. Defensive meetings, offensive meetings, and they were so buttoned up. And just the entire week of the Super Bowl with Kyle in the red cup and media day, there was questions about that. There was questions, well, we don't want to practice at UNLV. We're going to go back to Santa Clara.
Seriously, why would you want to practice on an asphalt field in 93-degree heat? I'm not saying it's an excuse,
but
there were things that were distracting and led him away from the ultimate goal that he was trying to get.
Bonte, let me ask you this one, because this is like, I wrestle with this. Was Philly stupid for letting Andy Reid go and then winning a Super Bowl after Chip Kelly with Doug Peterson, and now they're stuck with Sirianni and they're kind of in a weird spot? Or do they have buyer's remorse? Like, should they have stayed with Andy?
No, it ran its course. Andy was there for, what, 13 years? And it ate with the four straight NFC Championship games, playoffs, and the last couple of years it got stale. So it was time. Just like with Clay Thompson and the Warriors.
Just like with Jim Harbaugh and the Niners. I mean, that had run its course because Jim decided to do things to the owner that were not, conducive to keeping your job.
I don't think we're close to that with Shanahan yet.
Not even close.
Not now.
No. Now, there are some reports. I'm just throwing it out there.
And you can throw those reports in the damn
because nobody up here thinks that's true.
Well, I mean,
how about some of us know? That is trash, and I can't even stand that that made the rounds yesterday. Stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life.
I'll say this when it comes to Kyle Shanahan.
We got legends in the building.
Yes, there he is. I think about that beautiful 8x14-inch laminated play sheet because what Kyle does offensively has changed football. It's bringing the fullback back to some teams because he uses the fullback. Pre-snap motion, all the shifting, the jet
formation.
Sweep.
Give me the formation.
The formation, 21 formation, again, 21 personnel, all that stuff. He'll go 22 on you, Bonte.
Yes, I know.
We'll sleep on 22. I do think what he's done to offense, he's brought the run back. Everyone talks about the NFL 70-30 pass run. He's 50-50 and he wins doing it. So I think that it's that laminated play sheet and he's an offensive genius. Does he need to bone up on the overtime rules? Sure. Does he need to get better at challenges? You betcha.
Real quick, Dibs, I would ask you, and we had the great Matt Barros on today from The Athletic, and his answer, I'm not judging his answer, Willard. I was like, I got chills. Like, no, that's not it. I said, why was the Niners offense, if you're calling their head coach a genius, pedestrian in the playoffs since Green Bay, that you could have lost.
They scored 30 against
seven.
Detroit.
Yeah. You scored seven in the first half. You got a lot of it because the coach went Madden from Detroit. But my point is, if you're calling them a genius, which I've been there,
they were number two in the regular season in offense
in the playoffs.
Well, wait a minute,
I'm talking playoffs.
Is Andy Reid? Hold on, is Andy Reid a genius and is Patrick Mahomes great?
It's a combination of both.
Why did they have a crappy first half in the Super Bowl? Like, what I hear in all of these conversations is simply everyone's brain either going micro or macro. If you go macro, you think Kyle Shanahan's brilliant because the overall picture is pretty freaking great. But if you want to go micro, you're going to find a half where it stunk. You're going to find a play where he called the wrong thing. You're going to find a drive where he should have run and he passed.
Yep.
You're going to find those things. You're going to find a game or a year.
Can it be a combination, Mark?
Well, everything is.
And at fault at times?
But aren't the margins? Yeah. Of course he's at fault at times.
But aren't the margins razor thin? Quan Alexander catches an interception. Yep. They never get to 3rd and 15. Yep. Oh, my gosh. If Burford blocks up front, Ayuk's wide open. Yep. If Bosa tackles him on 4th and 2 and doesn't bite on the run, the margins are so razor thin. The fact that you've been knocking on the door speaks, the guy's really good.
No, I'm not.
He's really good.
54-29 the last 5 years, 8-4.
I mean, he's really good.
I mean, he's cooking. They're in the Final Four. And damn near half the league has copied his offense.
Yep. Jimmy couldn't throw a pass in the fourth quarter in the playoffs. playoffs, and they beat Aaron Rodgers without scoring an offensive touchdown. They were unbelievable in that 2021 season. Without a running game.
Yeah.
I mean, they're Debo. The whole stadium knew Debo was getting the ball, and they jammed it down their throat on 3rd and 7. I don't know. Kyle has a lot of things. Yeah. He's a really good coach. He just hasn't won the big one.
I'm just curious if you wouldn't rather be 5-0 in the Super Bowl or 5-3. You two in the jerseys. I mean, the three losses.
Always get to the Super Bowl.
Right,
I always go as far as the journey. You got to get as far as you can.
Donnie, how would you answer that?
It's obvious. You'd rather have gone there 8 times than 5. And that's the big problem with this discussion. Is I look at Kyle Shanahan, and 4 out of the last 5 years, he's coached a team to the NFC Championship. 4 out of the last 5 years, they've been to the Final 4. Sometimes you just get beat.
But you sound like the mission's been accomplished with that, which is a great feat. It's like you're done studying on why he didn't get it done, or they. That's all I'm asking.
You just assume that we're going to the playoffs and we're going to make a run. Everybody forgets that in order to get to the playoffs, you've got to play 17 games. And 3 straight years, they've gone 12-5. And they put themselves in position. I would argue that if you continue to put yourself in position, you will eventually break through.
Hey, will you get mad at me if I say that you're here? Can I say it? Is it okay?
Yeah.
Hey, everybody, welcome Guy McIntyre, 3-time champ. And what's that? Absolutely, no compromises. Yeah. All right, so will you do the word association with us? When we say Kyle Shanahan, you say what?
Be honest.
You say what? What do you think of when we say Kyle Shanahan? A genius.
Wow.
A genius.
Wow. I played for Bill Walsh.
That's from a man with 3 rings.
Yeah.
That's from a man with 3 rings.
Yeah, genius.
Okay.
Genius, right. Recognized genius.
Can I get a long guy? What's up, man?
Me too.
3 ball back looks like it did a well, man.
Hey, you know what? I think this would be a different conversation. I really do. I think this would be a different conversation if they were doing what John Harbaugh and Lamar were doing, dominating in the regular season and showing very little signs
bailing
in the playoffs.
Yep. He's never lost in the first round.
Two and three playoff games year after year after year. So, like, at some point, again, going back to attrition and the margins being razor thin, you got to get some bounces. And I think we're taking some of the players off the hook. Block. Yeah. Make a tackle. Make a play.
Make a throw.
Like, it's the ball.
Make a throw. I mean, run the ball.
Well, like, we give Steph Curry, like, I'm just using a different sport. Steph Curry, because of the fourth quarter in Boston. Lincecum, because of what he did in game 1 and game 5. And, like, give the players a little more power.
Guess what? We're presented by Fremont Bank. Celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromise. The gang is all here. This is the Red and Gold Summit, and we're talking about Brock Purdy coming up next on 95.7 The Game.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.